Journalist Yulia Urbishova has just published a book entitled Doma v Nola, or At Home in Nola, with Nola meaning New Orleans, Louisiana. Having first visited the city on a student's stay in 2007, Urbishova has now been living for several years in New Orleans, from where she reports for Czech radio, Czech television, and other outlets. Our conversation took in Nola's Czech connections, its crime rate, and Hurricane Katrina. But it began with the organization of the city's famous Mardi Gras parades.
So Mardi Gras has this motto which says it's the biggest show for everybody in the world. It's the biggest show for free, so it is for everybody. But it has different kind of rules. It has different kind of tradition within the big tradition. So the crews, we call them crews, the organizations who basically make the parades, are very old. They can be from like 19th century, and those were typically just for men. And there are still some of those working, and you cannot attend if you're a woman. And there are like 10 new ones where everybody can attend and can have fun. And also there is also carnival in the streets for the hipsters and like new people. Seriously, it's fun for everybody.
And the people who take it really seriously, like they spend the whole year preparing their costumes and stuff, right?
Yes. Not just that, they spend a lot of money. They spend, you know, thousands of dollars for buying all those beads, which they throw and which is garbage within a minute. So all the $1,000 just basically are thrown out of the floats. But it's part of it, and people are very proud that they can be actually part of the crew. And it's not just that you call the crew and say, hey, I want to be a member. You have to be on the wait list for many years sometimes, because it's like really, really very big tradition there.
In your book, At Home in Nola, you have one section called Beads All the Way from Czechoslovakia. How did beads come from this part of the world to New Orleans?
That was a surprise for me. And I tried to dig in the history. I tried to reach the historians in New Orleans and historians here in Czech Republic. And I figured nobody really has nothing about it written, which was kind of disappointing for me. But from what I learned from the historian of the New Orleans Museum or Louisiana Museum, he said that probably what happened was that some members of the crews came to visit Europe at the beginning of the 20th century and found these beautiful glass beads. Apparently some wife found them and liked them, so they made a deal and they bought like a lot of beads. And they were basically using them for carnival until 60s. After that, they started using just plastic beads from China, which is until now. But you can still find those Czech glass beads in some antique stores. And they're very popular. People still remember those from, you know, they're saying like, oh yeah, my grandma used to have like hundreds of them. So it's still there.
I had the sense when I was there that people in New Orleans see themselves as being different or almost separate from the rest of the United States. Is that true, do you think? That's how they see themselves?
Maybe not just they, but also the rest of the US. I feel like, yes, like the people who are coming from North make jokes about Southerners, about their accent. So yes, it's maybe right, your observation. And I think they're very proud of it, honestly, that they're different and, you know, they're very positive, they're very culturally oriented, you know, it's just original place.
I've never seen any city be so patriotic. They all have the Saints flags everywhere and the, what's it called, the fleur-de-lis,
yes,
the flag everywhere. It's remarkable to me how one city could be so proud of itself.
Yes, that's very true. The fleur-de-lis, you can find it everywhere. You can find cookies, you have jewelry, you know, like if there is a Mardi Gras especially or Saints games, you see old ladies wearing, you know, jewelry and t-shirts. Everybody wears it. It's everywhere, seriously.
You arrived 18 months after Katrina. Obviously, New Orleans has got back on its feet like a long time ago. But I'm wondering, what's your sense of how Katrina changed New Orleans in a deep way?
It had a big impact. It just basically everything changed. People say it actually helped the city. I mean, it might sound weird, but all the money which came from Washington, D.C. was basically something new, something what made New Orleans what it's now. Because when Katrina happened, a lot of people were complaining about, you know, the president, like just not supporting them enough, sending the troops late and so on. So at least they could use the help and the money to rebuild. And there was no doubt that they will rebuild. There was a big motto after Katrina, like, we need to rebuild and, you know, we just cannot lose New Orleans. Because, of course, there were questions if it's worth it because there can be another hurricane and just the floods again. But they decided it needs to be rebuilt, and I think everybody is happy about it.
But is it more expensive or more gentrified or maybe even more white than it was?
I don't think it's more white, but it's definitely different. That's true. When I remember when I came for the first time, the city was kind of empty because a lot of people left and never came back. Right now, the city is coming back. It's becoming very crowded. Prices of houses are increasing incredibly. All the festivals are just crazily crowded. Seriously, it's just, I feel like, I don't want to go to jazz festivals anymore because it's just too many people. It's very popular because the city is just beautiful and people love to come and love to stay. But it's becoming a little difficult for the people like really living there.
I guess maybe no city in the world has such a reputation as a musical city as New Orleans. Of course, it was the birthplace of jazz. But is that tradition still alive today and kind of thriving? Or is it something that's become kind of ossified and commercial and targeted at tourists?
I think it's a mix of both. Of course, in the French Quarter, which is the city center, there are tens of music clubs where you can hear really great bands and you can hear just the regular bands. I would avoid the Bourbon Street, for example. It is a very famous street, but it's just craziness. And you cannot really find really great music except of a couple clubs. Preservation Hall is an amazing place where you can hear like really the best tradition jazz music. So, of course, there are places where they really present the best of the tradition. And it is also alive. I would definitely say it's alive because if you look at the music scene within schools, for example, they really offer great music programs for kids. They even distribute musical instruments to people who cannot really afford. So they really try to promote the tradition.
In your book also, you refer to the high crime rate in New Orleans, and the murder rate there is comparable to the whole of the Czech Republic. Have you experienced crime directly yourself?
Fortunately not. Nothing ever happened to me, and I hope it will stay like that. But I have many stories from around, and I have to tell you that I stopped watching local news, because if I watch it and if I read news every morning, I would just probably stay locked in my house.
It's all shootings?
It's not just shootings, but there is kidnapping of cars. Somebody just shoot a person in a restaurant just a couple blocks, you know, from my house. So these things happen really a lot. It's just how it is there. And what I always say to tourists who come to New Orleans, I always say, just don't try to explore the city in the evening. Don't go anywhere you don't know, because these people know you are tourists. They can see you, you know, at the first look, and it's just not safe.
You report for Czech radio from New Orleans, also Czech TV, and you write from there. What kind of things do your editors or listeners or readers or viewers typically express interest in? Or what kind of stories get the biggest reaction?
Oh, I think it would be jazz and carnival stories, because those are always very alive. You know, they really can present the city and the energy of the place, and also the links with Czech Republic. So whenever I find somebody who is from Czech Republic and who has an interesting story, I try to interview that person, and it comes out pretty well.
And are there many Czechs in New Orleans?
There are not so many, but the community is growing now. I think we are many, we just don't know about ourselves, you know what I mean? We actually have a new honorary consul now. He was named just a month ago, and he looks like he's trying to really get us together. So hopefully I'll find new people soon.
In your book is written New Orleans Przechodna Adresa, like temporary address. How long do you see yourself staying in the city?
That's a big question. We love it there, of course. But we also see that the city has many disadvantages for family life, for kids. the school system is so complicated in US comparing to what we know from here. The health system is, you know, so different. So we'll see. My husband is originally from Turkey, so we are kind of open to all kind of options. And my kids are small. So yeah, we'll just try to give them, you know, all the options of the world right now.